You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
There's no way.
Yes, so as aforementioned, I was lucky enough to talk to the people over at the Kaipātiki Project on the North Shore, and I started by asking them to just explain to you, explain to me what it is, what do they do?
Okay, Kaipātiki Project's been going for 20 years in Glenfield, Birkdale area of North Shore Auckland. As the name suggests, it's a restoration organisation. Started off, you know, clearing weeds and dump cars out of a park and planting it up. And as part of that, we developed a community nursery, and there became a bit of a need or of volunteers also interested in growing food. So we run a small, we call it a teaching garden, so a vegetable garden and orchard on the same space that we have our community nursery, and it's run by our volunteers. So essentially it's a community garden designed to feed the volunteers. So the volunteers run the garden and everyone gets to take something home from it. So that's been going, well, 18 years on this current site, and we have just started a second little nursery over in Hobsonville Point, and my volunteers also wanted to have some food growing, so we've put in a few garden beds and starting an orchard on that side of the harbour as well, because everyone wants to grow food. That's us.
Yeah, indeed. So why, this is a bit of a general question, why do you think people want to grow their food at the moment? Or why do you think people should grow their food if you think that they should?
Everyone should be growing food. I mean, it doesn't take much space to put a pot of herbs on the back deck to have with your meal. A lot of people now are realising that the stuff they're buying isn't as nearly as good as what they remember eating growing up or their grandparents growing. So they want to be able to control where their food comes from, and having a garden space and growing your own food is part of that. It also builds a bit of resilience. If you can supply a bit of your own food, the costs come down. And you know if you're putting anything on it, what's going into your mouth. So there's a bit of that. And also people are now being packed in tighter, and there's less space, you know, no longer quarter acre sections. So they're looking for somewhere where they can grow, because they always have. And the community gardening space is providing that ability for people to grow their own food. And for us, we call it a teaching garden, because we also run classes in that to extend the garden into the community. I mean, everyone should be growing their own food, in my view. And there's been a generation or two lost. The people have not had gardens. Their parents haven't had gardens. Everything's come out of a tin or the supermarket. And we are helping by, you know, teaching people how to grow, and that's a major function of Kaipātiki Project. We're a teaching community centre, environmental centre, really.
Certainly. It all sounds incredibly fascinating. So you've touched on a few of the gardens that you guys have at the moment.
Yep.
I was wondering whether you could go into a bit of depth about the different ones that you have, and maybe some highlights of what you're growing, as well as what some of the topics or themes that you discuss in the teaching programs.
Right. Our main garden is here in Kaipātiki Project, which is in Birkdale, on the North Shore. Raised beds, we're on a pretty swampy, horrible piece of land, so getting things above the waterline is kind of important. Probably the biggest thing we're doing is we're growing seasonally, so there's fresh food coming off the garden for our volunteers all the time. But it's a really amazing facility for kids. We do a lot of kids' education, and we've got kids who've never seen a carrot in the dirt. We've got an asparagus bed, and actually most adults have never actually seen where asparagus comes from. It's something you find bound up in a supermarket, you know. So to actually show them plants in the ground is a real eye-opener for so many people. There's such a disconnect between what's on their plate and where it's come from. And just people walking through, stopping, going, oh, my God, you know, we've got raspberries. Oh, that's what a raspberry looks like. You know, we've got beans growing up poles. So it's just... really, it's from an education point of view, showing people that you can grow and what food actually looks like is being quite strange, actually, because I've always grown up with food, growing food. So to find out that there's you know, kids have never seen a tomato on a tomato vine is a bit gobsmacking to me. But we're realising that a lot of the community haven't seen food growing, and the option of coming down and joining us and being a volunteer and sharing in that for a lot of people is, well, it's really quite changes their view on life. So, now, like I said, for our my volunteers in Hobsonville Point are mainly retired and they moved into smaller properties, and they simply miss doing what they've always done. So we've built garden beds to allow them to carry on. For some parts of New Zealand, it's a standard thing. So, yeah, two different drivers.
Yeah, certainly. There are two things that you mentioned in that have kind of perked my interest. One of which you said you're on a rather horrible bit of land, an old swampy kind of area. Do you think it's important for people, or do you think people can make the most out of perhaps different growing circumstances? I think a lot of people imagine that they need almost like a farm, or as you say, like the quarter acre section to grow food. But do you think that people can produce food for themselves, maybe in a more urban environment or a more swampy environment where we don't traditionally see that? And
yeah,
I'll leave you with that one first.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason why you can't grow, as long as you can get some sunlight, and the plants need some. I've seen lots of photos of people growing in big pots and bins on the footpath leading up to their front door. It takes more work, and you've got to babysit the plants. Now, we're on a pretty swampy piece of land, and it used to be pretty horrible come winter time. So we've done raised beds, and we've built them up. So, yes, you can grow pretty much anywhere. It just takes a little bit more planning. And that's usually where most people fall down, because they don't know where to start. So we're kind of showing people you can, and that's part of our training, that if you've got, we make compost, so all our waste gets composted, and we throw it back on the garden, so we're making fertility. As long as you can get sunlight, and in summertime, you know, you can water the plant, you can grow, whether it be a terrace, you can be in a tent store or a high-rise, you can still grow some herbs outside or some vegetables outside on the deck. As long as they get some sunshine and you're prepared to water it, you can grow. So there is no way where you can't grow. It just takes more effort and a bit of knowledge to do it right.
Certainly. So I not only guess you're growing food from it, you're growing kind of knack for innovation. The second thing that you said is that perhaps people are kind of developing a disconnect between their food and themselves. Do you think that's had much of an effect on New Zealand?
I think the myth of the veggie patch and fruit trees that everyone has access to is indeed a myth. I mean, I've been lucky that I've grown up with that my entire life, and I've carried it on, but our friends think we're amazing because we grow food and we bottle and we freeze, whatever. And we now realise that, yeah, that is a complete disconnect. I mean, kids think milk comes out of a milk bottle at the supermarket, you know? The connection with a cow is, A, completely foreign, and B, quite horrendous thought for them. So, yeah, there's one or two generations that have been growing up and using a tin can that open cans or open the freezer bag, have no idea where the food comes from. In fact, there's a disconnect with the outside world, whether it be native forest or in the veggie garden. So it is a real thing, and it is a real problem, because you can't care for what you don't know about. And part of it, eating well or, building a better body through better food scenario, it just passes them by because they have no idea.
Certainly, you touched a bit on it at the end, but I was just going to ask, perhaps for you to clarify, why do you think it's important that people know where their food comes from?
It helps them make real choices. Part of it is rubbish in, rubbish out. And part of it is caring for yourself. I mean, if you know that you're growing really healthy food and you've prepared it, there's actually a real pride and producing good food from your backyard and eating it and sharing it. A lot of the food is mass produced and limited in the term food. It's megacorp type situation where other industries are making a profit from you. But if you're actually growing your own, you're saving money, you're producing healthy food for yourself, so you're better, The long-term benefit of that is less health costs for yourself and mental health. I mean, the best thing you can do is get out in the garden and get your hands in the soil. It's one of the best things to do for mind, body and soul. So it's so good for you on so many levels. And, you know, on a glorious day, being outside is pretty glorious. The idea of, you know, walking down the road to the supermarket and buying something resembling food that isn't full of nutrition is pretty horrendous in comparison.
Certainly. So what's coming up within the project at the moment?
Well, right now, for me, in the nursery side of things, the gardens have got their winter crops in, so your cabbages and your kales. So things are slowing down a bit as the temperature's dropping. All the fruit trees are finished for the year, so we're getting ready to prune those. But there's always work going on. When you're gardening, you're always thinking ahead. I mean, now's the time to look at the seed packets and say, what am I planning for spring? Because it takes time to plant the seed, get the seedling up, prepare the garden beds and get ready for a couple of months' time. So it never really stops. It's always working. Gardeners are optimists because you're always looking to the future. And right now for the nursery, we're getting trees out for planting day. So there's hundreds and hundreds of trees leaving us. So my volunteers are seeing the fruits of their work leaving, as it were.
How can people get involved in everything that's happening?
Right, well, Kai Pataki Project is volunteer-driven. I'm paid. It's my job to run the place. But I have a team of volunteers who turn up here on Monday and Thursday mornings. Volunteers turn up and weed and garden. And I provide hot drinks and chocolate biscuits. So that's probably the easiest way. Look up Kai Pataki Project on the website and find out about our volunteering times and come on in. I mean, we have a really wonderful mixed bag of people, all ages, all backgrounds, and just willingness to get your hands in the dirt is the only criteria I need. And you get to hang with some amazing people.
Amazing. It sounds really amazing. If you could leave the listeners with one final thought about the Kai Pataki Project, what would that thought be?
Well, we've been doing good for 20 years, and it works when the community works together, and that's our main driver. We're a community-led organisation. I mean, that's an interesting phrase, but it really is. I mean, we've got volunteers out there planting trees and coming up, and we've got my volunteers coming in now to pull out garden beds and strip them down and rebuild them. And really, when people get together, you can do a lot. And I'm just really privileged to be part of a much larger team.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.